Now, a new report on South Sudan has revealed a gloomy picture regarding the country's food security. According to the Crop and Food Security Assessment Mission report by the Food and Agriculture Organization and the World Food Program, WFP, South Sudan is expected to experience a high food deficit for 2021 due to the impact of prolonged conflict and floods, leaving millions of citizens extremely food insecure. And so right now, to help us understand this the situation.
Yeah, we have in the studio Mawa Awad, Head of Communications, World Food Program. Good morning and welcome to Miraya Breakfast.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Yes, thank you for coming. Now, cereal production in South Sudan in 2020 rose by 7%, according to the report, over 2019 levels, apparently because of favorable rains. Help us understand why the project reports a high food deficit instead.
Yes, this is a really good question. So what we're seeing across South Sudan is different types of situations and humanitarian conditions, and they vary. In the areas where there has been stability or lack of insecurity, so people are more stable, there's more security, and there is less flooding, we've seen that farmers who have been displaced earlier in the past 2 years were encouraged to return, and they've returned to their areas of farming, and they've actually enlarged or expanded their planting activities, thereby covering more land. And this is where we have noticed that increase, which is of 7% compared to last year.
Yes.
However, we know that South Sudan has been struggling with a lot of insecurity and conflict of different sorts, and it comes and goes in very in a very irregular manner. Mm-hmm. However, it is consistent. Insecurity remains to be very, very consistent. And as a result, coupled with the flooding, with the excessive flooding, we have been tracking a major cereal deficit. And unfortunately, the amount of cereal that we have right now in the country is only enough to feed a third of the population. So you're looking at two-thirds of the population being extremely food insecure.
Wow. So in despite the fact that the production rose by 7%, we're still going to go hungry. Interesting. Now, when you talk about cereal, just break it down for me. What are we talking about here? What kind of cereal?
We're mainly speaking of sorghum, and this is the main commodity that the main cereal that people plant here and grow. And the World Food Program provides that as well through imports from outside the country. And so just to nuance the idea a little, it's not a matter of going hungry or not, but it's a matter of having a sustainable access to food. And this is what the World Food Program and other agencies are trying to make possible, is to ensure that people feel food secure, meaning they can access food on a regular basis. There are areas in the country that are in extreme trouble because they are on the brink of not being able to feed themselves at all or get any amount of food. And those pockets of we call it catastrophic hunger, those pockets exist in the greater Jonglei region. And it's not a surprise because this area had suffered a lot from extreme flooding. Massive floods in the last 2 years have been seen to be at a record high. There hasn't been anything higher than that in terms of the amount of floods. I was recently in the greater Jonglei region, and I spoke to people there in one of the communities, and I was really struck by how urgent that concept of helping them to get rid of that excessive water was to them. Of course, they were very happy to be receiving food assistance. We have a very large footprint across the country, so we're able to reach over 5 million people. However, this the idea of not wanting to live, you know, in an area that's submerged, underwater is a real fact right now. It's a reality for hundreds of thousands of people. So they were really keen about that.
Yes. Right. Now, to what extent will the marginal cereal production growth for last year help the population?
It's marginal, as you mentioned, and so it will only be enough for a third of the population, which means most of the people will be reliant on humanitarian food assistance and the imports of the essential grains, as I mentioned earlier. The problem now is that it's compounded by the economic effects of COVID-19. So the prices of grain and cereals in the market are really beyond the reach of many. And this is why WFP's work is really essential here, because we ensure that the people that we can reach are covered and they have their food needs.
So if this is only enough for a third, what happens to the two-thirds?
Well, the two-thirds of the population, then we have to reach them, and to reach them quickly through the food assistance programs that we run, and also working together with our sister organizations, because then we know that food insecurity is at an all-time high to these people, to those, you know, the two-thirds of the population. I believe South Sudan normally requires 1.3 million metric tons of cereal a year to feed its population of around 12 million people right now. So you can see the gap is huge. Mm-hmm. And that's why we're making a call to people. A, the donors. Donors must really step up their assistance. They have, of course, in the past, but things continue to deteriorate because the challenges are too many.
Okay. And which are some of the areas and groups of people that you expect to be hard hit by this deficit?
Well, definitely Jonglei, Unity, and Upper Nile. They have the highest cereal deficit levels in the country. And they also happen to account for almost 50% of people who are food insecure. So, and this again, just to note, this is because of the ongoing conflict and the huge floods in those three states. We also know that of the 10 states of the country, only Western Equatoria came out to be cereal sufficient. So they have sufficient cereal for, you know, the World Food Program and our sister agency FAO to purchase from them locally to be able to then move that cereal to the other locations that are facing this deficit.
All right. Now, you did mention that you're planning to reach out to the two-thirds, but what other short-term measures do you feel are necessary to counter this situation?
Well, I must say that in order for us to reach out, there has to be secure access, right? There has to be security on the ground. So really the number one concern or the number one call is to stop any forms of violence from happening. Once the violence stops and once groups are able to settle and to find other ways to negotiate whatever they need, then humanitarians are able to move in very quickly. And we are logistically extremely capable here. I mean, if we're not reaching people through airdrops, we're reaching them through roads. If the roads are not available, we're carving out pathways and waterways through the Nile to reach them. And we've done this very recently in Ayot County, where people's communities were submerged. So we reached them. We worked with the geography. We reached them through the water. So we just need everyone to be on board, on the same page. No reason for violence, no reason for looting. Unfortunately, we've had a case of looting in Gumruk recently, but we're back on the ground and delivering food assistance. Once there's stability, people can turn the page on food insecurity here in this country. And there is so much promise for a young country as South Sudan, so we would love to see that come to pass.
How much of a challenge is food security in South Sudan? And are there areas where you feel communities have the potential to increase their agricultural production but just need specific assistance?
Mm-hmm. Yes, so there is potential across the country because there's so much in South Sudan and the population is not that big. So all you need is just organization and support, and that comes with stability and, of course, with finding ways to counter the climate change, which we're seeing now in the form of massive floods. So I just want to say, like, the growth that we're seeing is encouraging. We don't want to undermine it, because it shows how productive the people of South Sudan can be when there is stability and there is peace. They're able to move back, they're planting, and it's great. The World Food Program is not just providing food aid, so we're not just giving boxes of food assistance to people. We also have a program that we're growing and expanding, and it has to do with livelihoods, the creation of job opportunities for people. And the number one thing that we're focusing on is farming, naturally. So we are training farmers, local farmers, on how to farm better, to use better seeds, better tools, and also to store their harvest in better ways, and then teaching them how to take that surplus and sell it in local markets. This is the sustainable way for South Sudan.
So where is this currently happening, the trainings and the encouragement?
So naturally, this is happening in the areas that are secure and stable. So West Equatoria is a prime example. We are also working very closely with people in areas such as Yida. In fact, we're going there next week to document some very, very good successes of single women who've actually turned themselves into business women because they were just on board with the training. And so right now we're reaching over 600,000 South Sudanese people with those livelihoods programs. We are obviously working to expand this, and to expand it, we need the funding, but we also need everyone to be on board that, yes, you know, let's settle those areas where there's conflict. Then the World Food Program and other agencies can move in and do this pre-development work to help people feed themselves by their own hands.
Okay. And where are you looking to expand?
So at the moment, we do have a plan. I'm just unable to share the exact locations with you yet, but okay. We are looking to expand in the areas where we can actually grow seeds and have the harvest and the surplus. Mm-hmm. And those will naturally be expanding in the Equatorias. Mm-hmm. And we are hoping to be able to start somehow in the Upper Nile states, but they're not ready as of yet.
Okay. All right. Now that you talked about not taking the increase for granted, mm-hmm. so if there is a bit of stability or, well, something consistent, mm-hmm. How do you, given this substance increase, even though there was crisis, there was COVID last year, the flooding, we had a 7% increase, what projection do you have for next year if there is a bit of, if we do what we did, if what was done last year is continued this year?
So you mean what was done in terms of the marginal growth?
Do we see another growth next year, or are we seeing, are we not going to follow the same trajectory?
Well, that depends, because this is in the future. But we know that if we want that 7% growth to double or mm-hmm. triple,
yes,
which is exactly what we want,
yeah.
then we're going to want to have some very clear preconditions mm-hmm. to enable that.
Yes.
And, you know, one of them, and the main one, is lasting peace.
Okay.
Of course, what the next challenge seems to be the climate change because of this excessive flooding. And with funding, we can work with the geography of the country to reduce the effects of this, you know, too much water, people losing their cattle and their homes drowning and their harvest drowning. So I think we should look at it from the perspective of what harm can we lessen. And the more harm that we prevent from happening, the more room there is for growth.
Yes. All right. Thank you very much. Do you have any last remarks on this particular issue?
Well, it's to say that, you know, the 10th anniversary for the establishment of South Sudan is coming up, and this is an amazing milestone. Unfortunately, there are huge challenges, but South Sudan can be a good story. It can be a happy story for everyone, for the 12.2 million people. So this is really why the World Food Program is here and other agencies as well. We are really trying to make this story of South Sudan a successful one, and we need everyone to be on board to help us achieve this.
Okay. Thank you very much for coming to Miraya.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Have a good day.